Hi, I'm Gino. I'm an addict and alcoholic. And, first of all, I'd like you to just kind of bear with me a little bit. It's been a long day. It's been a long week. I played 3 games of softball yesterday. And I'm paying the price for it today. And I had to work, so. But you know what? I'm grateful that I get to do that. I'm not a young man anymore, but I still try. And, you know, the mind is willing, but the body kind of fails sometimes. So I'm going to try to, not try, I'm going to share my experience, strength, and hope. I hope I can try to do the best I can. It's been a while since I spoke. I'm going to start from the beginning. Grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Grew up in a family, pretty dysfunctional family. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom was the breadwinner. She was the rock, you know. She was the foundation. She was the one who would keep everything cool, you know. My dad drank, chased women, and he never worked. You always had a reason why not to work, you know. And that's kind of like how I grew up. I remember when I was a little kid, my dad, even though he drank and drugged, he always told me, don't drink, don't do drugs. But he would never really tell me why. You know, he was strict. He was like a drill sergeant. Whatever he said, that's the way things were. And, you always told me, don't do drugs. And I'm like, okay, I'm not planning on it. But why is it that you don't want me to do drugs? But he would never explain. So when I was like maybe 11 years old, he took me down to 42nd Street, which back in the 70s, it used to be pretty bad. It used to be porn, pimps, hookers. So he took me down there just to show me, give me an idea of what I could turn into, what could happen if I did drugs and alcohol. So, and he would take me to the Bowery, take me down the Lower East Side, places where, pretty seedy places where people were just, you know, bums and heroin addicts and people like that. And, you know, at 11 years old, I didn't register, you know. And to me, it didn't make sense, but I guess he was trying to show me what things that could happen to me if I decided to go that route. I remember living in an apartment building, and having to. I remember going home and my mom having to pick me up as a little kid over this guy that was basically out in the hallway, passed out, with a needle in his arm. You know, and I was like, so he says, well, my family has decided, okay, we're going to leave Brooklyn, we're going to move to Jersey, because it's safer there, no drugs there, and. You know, the kids will be safe. So I said, great. You know, I hated moving to Jersey at first because I loved Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn. Everything about Brooklyn I love. I love New York City. I love Manhattan. That was my passion, you know. And we moved into a house. You know, my family bought a house, and it was supposed to be safe, you know. It was the suburbs, you know. And lo and behold, there were more drugs there than we were in Brooklyn, you know. And that's how I got introduced to drugs. You know, when I walk up here and I say I'm an addict and an alcoholic, because I'm an addict, man. I love drugs. Didn't realize I was an alcoholic until I got into AA. From the moment I walked into, you know, the doors of AA, I realized and I identify with alcoholism. I'm an alcoholic. Even before I took my first drink, it was passed on to me as a little kid, you know. But I can honestly say I hated drinking. I hated drinking, man. I hated being drunk. I hated the feeling of not having control, because I like having control. You know, I'm a control freak. Was a control freak. You know, I've worked really hard at giving that up. So basically went to Jersey, got involved with, you know, basic dealing drugs, pot, acid. You know, I grew up in, I was a teenager in the 70s. You know, that's when, you know, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd and Grateful Dead, you know. Didn't realize until I got sober how much your music sucked, you know? It really did. It really did. I mean, everybody chased him around and followed him around. Now, you know, I went along with it. You know, I tripped my ass all the time. Acid and mescaline and all that, mushrooms and all that stuff. I did a lot of drugs, man. I remember one year, I can honestly tell you that I probably tripped every day for 1 year. And it was like nothing. It was like something that we all did. So growing up, all my friends, the whole town that I lived in, we all did the same thing. So I had nowhere to, you know, everybody was normal to me. That was normal. That was something that we all did. And it was sort of normal behavior. And I didn't realize that it wasn't normal until I got sober. Because, you know, I got into the drugs, the dealing, the pot, in and out of jails. You know, every weekend it felt like I went to jail. It was like a normal routine thing. You know, Friday night I get drunk, I get high, walk out on the street, cops see me, and I knew what to do. You know, throw my hands up and go into jail. Routine, you know? And it didn't really matter. It was like part of my life. Weekend in, weekend out, I would go to jail. And my poor mom, you know, always there to bail me out, always there to save me, you know? And she enabled me to keep going as long as I did, because she was always, you know, I couldn't hold a job. I don't think I worked, I didn't have a job for 10 years. I don't know how I managed, man, but I didn't work for 10 years, living off the streets, dealing pot, drug, whatever, you know, and it was normal. We all did the same shit, year in, year out, you know, and just basically living the life. I thought that was the life that I wanted to lead, you know, and I was happy. I was happy doing that until drugs and alcohol stopped working for me. You know, it got to a point where it was just pointless. It didn't make sense anymore. It was, to me, the last time I got high, you know, I did coke and I drank beer. And I mean, I couldn't get high anymore. For some reason, it didn't work anymore. And that's the day that I decided, I basically came to a point, realization that there had to be something different. There had to be something better than this. And I remember walking out. And I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but, you know, I have so much. I could sit here and talk, but, it seems like only yesterday, you know. It seems like only yesterday that I started getting, you know, that I got sober. You know, I walked into AA for the first time, and I knew that I was home. I knew that's where I belonged. I knew that everything that I was looking for was there. I knew that when I was out drinking and drugging, that's what I was looking for. Because I never, anywhere I went, I mean, I used to go to concerts. I used to go to, you know, concert shows. I used to follow them around and stuff like that. And there would be thousands of people. I remember going to see Eric Clapton play Cocaine, you know, the first time he ever played it. And I was like, yeah, you know, and I was like, wow, man. It was great, you know. And that's what I was looking for. I was looking for something. I wanted to belong. And I used to go to these shows where there were thousands of people and I would still be alone. I felt alone. It was like I didn't, you know, I didn't fit. I couldn't get that, you know, I was always searching for something, you know, trying to fill that void. And I could never find that. I couldn't, you know, I was pretty much a loner, but I hated being alone, you know, and I could never anywhere I went, I didn't fit. I felt like there was something missing in my life, you know. And growing up and doing all the drugs, the acid and all that, in and out of jail for a long time, and not really finding what I was looking for, and that feeling of, you know, that void of not having my higher power. And that's what I was searching for, man. You know, I grew up pretty much in a, my mom was really Catholic, you know, really. So she put me in Catholic school, and I went to Catholic school, did that. I didn't fit there either. I couldn't follow the rules. But she always installed in me Christ, you know, as a little kid, Christ, Christ. And I'm like, okay, Christ. But you know what? It turned out to be that something good came out of that, you know, something that really has helped me in this journey. So I went from in and out of jails, going to grand juries. I remember going to grand juries a couple times and facing 15 to 20 years in jail, prison for distribution, all kinds of shit. And I remember going to court that day and carrying a bag of coke to go see the judge for a grand jury trial. And that's how insane I was, you know. And I couldn't wait for the judge to say, okay, we're taking a break, you know. Recess, you know, and I couldn't, I was insane. I couldn't, I was insane because I was facing serious charges, and to me it was like a walk in the park. Like I knew I was going to beat it, you know, and luckily I did, you know. That kind of shit just went on for a long time until, by the grace of God, certain things happened in my life where, you know, certain people start showing up without you even knowing it or realizing it. And then, you know, I met one guy who, an Irish guy, you know, he, big redheaded Irish guy. And, you know, I would see him around town, and he always had this smile on his face, this shit eating grin on his face all the time. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy so happy about? You know, and I would run into him here and there, and he just smiled at me and be like, I could tell he was happy about something, you know? And I'm like, dude, one day I stopped and I said, what is it with you? Why are you always smiling? Why are you always so happy? When I'm like, I'm feeling like shit right now. And he didn't come out and say, blah, you know, this. He just said, well, you know, certain people, certain things happen, you know, and, you know, I found something, and then I wanted to know what it was. And he never sat me down. He sat me down once and basically told me about AA, but he never really tried to push it on me. He was just there. It was like God put him in my life when I needed him. And he basically... I just gravitated to this guy all the time. And then a couple other guys that were friends with him came around, and I felt like, wow, this is something going on here that I have no idea what it is. And it happened to be these three Irish guys. And they were all living together. They were all, you know, happy. And they weren't drinking and they weren't drugging, you know. And I was like, man, there's something to this, you know. So I kind of just, you know, I got away from it a little bit. I went back to, you know, running the streets, doing the drugs and doing my shit. And then I finally I hit a bottom to where I was standing on a corner trying to sling some dope or find the next person I was going to rip off, you know. And this one guy happened to just drive by. He would do this for like a month. He would drive by me for like 3 months and beep the horn, you know, honk the horn at me and say, Gino, are you ready? And I'm like, nah, man, I'm good. He did that for like 3 months. And one Friday night, he drove by and he honked the horn and he said, Gino, you ready? And I said, yes, I'm ready. Wherever you want me to go, I'm going with you. Because I was so sick and tired. I was so burned out. I was so beat up that spiritually, I was dead. And he said, get in the car. And I said, man, I need you to take me to rehab. He goes, rehab? Okay, I'll take you to rehab. But he says, first, before I take you to rehab, there's a meeting going on that I want you to check out. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to talk. You don't have to say anything. Just come with me and check it out. And then if after the meeting you don't feel, you feel like you still want to go to rehab, I'll take you. And then I said, okay, deal, man. I just wanted to be around somebody that I don't know, he had something that I wanted, you know? And so he took me to the meeting, and then an hour, I had a cup of coffee, I started feeling better. People came up to me and talked to me, and I'm like, okay, this is something that something going on here that I want to know about. So after the meeting ended, he said, you still want to go to rehab? I said, no, man, I'm good. So, you know, but I did do a detox before that, and I went to a rehab, which I got kicked out of because my baby mama wanted me to go to rehab, so I did. And so kind of went to rehab for like 10 days, started a fight because I wanted to get out. It was during the holidays. I wanted to go home for the holidays. So I got sent. And then I found that guy who basically is my sponsor today, who has been my sponsor for a long time. So little by little, things started to happen to where I realized that I was an addict and an alcoholic. I realized that if I kept going the way I was going, I was going to die. And to die, for me to die at that point would have been welcome. I would have been happy to die, you know. But I hated, one thing I could not stand was being spiritually dead. You know, I'd much rather be physically dead than spiritually dead, you know. And I know I'm jumping around a lot because I have so many, you know, things going through my head right now. Good things. And but basically what happened was that I came into AA from the day I got into AA till now. I haven't had to pick up a drink or a drug. I haven't had smoked weed, which I loved smoking weed. Weed was my thing, you know. And when I first got sober, I said, when I'm 65 years old, I'm going to get a rocking chair somewhere, Puerto Rico, Bahamas, Jamaica, somewhere, and I'm going to light up a fat joint. And that was my goal, you know. And to this day, I may still do it, but I'm not there yet. I got a few years to go, like 13 years to go. Wow. No, but you know what? It's a goal, something that I said I was going to do. I may not do it. I may do it. Who knows? But it doesn't matter because today I'm not doing it. And it's something that, I've learned a lot from the old-timers, you know, over the years. And I can still hear those old-timers when I first got into the rooms. And that's what keeps me sober today. Because, you know, and I'm not the smartest guy in the world, man, but for some reason, my ears opened up to that. You know, and I don't claim to know this book like the back of my hand like some people do. I've read the book. I still open that book today and I find things that I've never read before. That's how powerful that shit is to me. For me, in order for me to stay sober today, I have to remain teachable, I have to be open-minded, and I have to be a newcomer. Always be a newcomer. I remember the old-timers telling me, sit up front with the dummies, you know? Meaning that those who really want to stay sober are the ones who are going to be sitting up front. You know, stay, you know, in the middle of the herd, because the ones on the outside are the ones that get picked off. You know, it's like the wildebeest. You know, if you're outside, the lion's going to get you, you know. So things like that. And my favorite one was sit down, shut up, and listen. You know, and that's what I needed to hear. Because, you know, me being a newcomer, I have no business talking about sobriety because I have no idea what that is. Until I'm able to go to the book, get a sponsor, and do the things that they've done. You know, program works. AA doesn't have a monopoly on sobriety or recovery, but for me, this is what works. And if it works, I don't need to change anything. I still have a sponsor. I still do the step work. I still do the things I used to do when I first got here. You know, I did a lot of drugs. I drank a lot. I hurt a lot of people, especially my mom. I hurt the lady that was my backbone. She made me. You know, she helped me hit a bottom without even realizing that, you know. She passed away when I was 6 months sober. And to me, that was the hardest thing I ever had to go through. But I got through it, you know, because I knew that she would want me to stay sober. You know, I made a lot of mistakes in sobriety. When I first got sober, I used to go to clubs because that was the thing to do and hang around people that were drinking, your friends drank, so you hang out with them, just kind of test the waters. I'll go, oh, yeah, see, I can stay with, you know, and that's crazy. Early sobriety, you know, it's crazy to be doing things like that, but we think we're invincible. We think we can This shit is cunning, baffling, and powerful, man. When you least expect it, it'll bite you, you know? It comes at you covertly in forms, many forms. A pretty ass, you know, a cute guy, money, good jobs. Because once you get those things, you start forgetting where you've been. You know, I will never forget my last drunk. I don't forget where I've been, man, you know, and the hell that I went through spiritually, you know. Like I said, I've heard a lot of people drinking and drugging. I've heard people in sobriety, you know. I'm still sober by the grace of God today. I can't do it without my higher power today, you know. at a certain time in my sobriety, you know, in November 16th, I'll have 24 years of sobriety. And to tell you that I could, when I first got here, I could say that I was going to have this much time, never in my wildest dreams. You know, one thing I did was I committed. I said, when I got here, I got into the program, I got into AA, and I said, I'm going to be the last one standing. My goal was to be. Because, you know, you go to rehab and they tell you, oh, only so many are users. I said, fuck you, I'm going to be the one to make it. Because I made up my mind that I was going to do whatever it took to stay sober. So at 17 years of sobriety, I thought I had arrived. I had money, I had women, or whatever you want to, you know. I had a lot of things, you know, and I forgot what really mattered, you know. I forgot about my higher power. I forgot about recovery. I forgot about the newcomer because I had, you know, I was working, man. I'm making money, man. That's all that matters. You know, money, power, prestige, all that stuff. That's what I wanted at the time. And I thought that's what you're supposed to do when you're sober. You know, you're supposed to go after it. That's why I got sober, to go after things. Now, at 17 years, it's right ahead of a wall. And it was either drink again or blow my head off. And a new drinking wasn't an option anymore, you know? And I had to start. I called up my sponsor, which I just got off the phone with. By the way, I didn't get a word in because he talks and talks. You know, when old-timers speak, you listen, man. And he just, I was like driving here with Dustin, and he's like talking. I'm like, dude, you won't shut up. But you know what? Out of respect to him, I need to hear what he has to say, you know? And at 17 years of sobriety, I called the same guy I just talked to. And I said, I just threw up on him. And he said two things: plug into AA, plug into a higher power. And then he asked me, what are you going to do? And I said, I know exactly what to do, but that's all I needed to hear. You know, I haven't spoken to him in 6 months. And it was like I've never lost touch with a guy. I have a couple of men in my life today. That sounds gay, but yeah, I do have a couple guys in my life who have, you know, altogether they have about 100 years of sobriety. I have a gentleman that I met here in Utah, God thing, who's got 40 years of sobriety. And God put him in at a meeting next to me, another Irish guy. For some reason, the Irish gravitate to me, or I gravitate to them, you know. And this little guy, I call him my little Yoda, because he's got knowledge, man. He's got wisdom. And that's one thing that if you stick around this program long enough, you'll gain, is wisdom. How do you get wisdom? With time. It doesn't happen overnight, just like staying sober. This shit takes time. The person you are today, you're not going to be the same person. I'm not the same person I used to be a year ago, 6 months ago. You know, I like to say that I work a perfect program, but I live a program. I still do the things I did when I was a newcomer. You know, I do the readings, you know. And, you know, it works different for everybody else. I don't know how. I can't sit here and tell you what to do or what works for me because it may not work for you. But I know what works for me today. One thing that I know is to pick up a drink and a drug is insane. I know that. I know where that leads me. And I don't want to go down that route anymore. And I know that no matter what happens to me today in my life, as bad as it may be, things will always get better. Things always change. One thing that's always constant is change. If you just stick it out one more minute, one more hour, one more call, and just keep going, man, because it's something that You know, I don't know if I'll ever drink again. I know that I'm not going to drink today. I don't know that, you know, I don't want to throw away what I've worked so hard for. And I don't want to let down those people that put effort into me. I'm not as selfish as I used to be. You know, I believe the only way I stay sober today is through humility and being care for the other person more than you basically care for yourself. But then again, so basically all I can say is that it's here if you want it. It works. If a guy like me can do it, anybody can do it. You know, one last thing I'm going to say is through AA, I've been able to find another program that's been really, really instrumental in my sobriety in the last 5 years, and that's Al-Anon. I don't know if you're anything like me. I like to save people sometimes. I used to, not anymore. I used to save people, and I used to be a carer, and I used to take hostages and all that. So that was part of my alcoholism. That's who I had become. So Al-Anon has helped me immensely in the last 5 years. I've grown more in 5 years than I did in the first 10, first 17. But I truly believe that anybody here can do this. I believe that if you set your mind to doing this and you come to terms with the fact that you're an addict and alcoholic like I have, I know deep inside of me I'm an addict and an alcoholic, and that's never going to change. Never going to change. And I need to be true to myself today. Like they say, you know, to thy own self be true. I'm true to myself today. I don't go against that. I can honestly tell you that after all these years of doing this deal, I'm finally starting to become the person that my higher power wants me to be. You know, I'm not that piece of shit. This is rob and steal and take your money and all that stuff. I don't do that. I do things like that anymore. I have a conscience, man, you know. To go against what I've been taught today is to go against what's right. You know, there's this, in the program, there's this spiritual beam or this beam that you walk on that anytime I go step outside of that, I feel it today. So I don't allow myself to feel that. I do what the right thing, you know, whether it be call my sponsor. You know, I just picked up a sponsor 6 months ago, and the guy has like 9 years. I say, what can I possibly learn from someone who's got 9 years? But it's not the time. This man works a good program, knows the book like the back of his hand, knows it better than I do, so I'm willing to learn. You know, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, man. You know, if I got to... When I had 17 years of sobriety, I did 360 meetings in 90 days because I wanted to stay sober. And as much pain as I was in, I knew if I kept going and doing this deal, eventually I would get to where I wanted to go. You know, last 3 years, 4 years have been hard financially. Jobs I've lost. Things I've lost. I've given up a lot of material stuff. Because I was unhappy with all that thing. Now, I want those things again, but now I have a different perspective on those things. I know that if I do the right thing, I continue to build that relationship with my higher power, and not only believe in my higher power, but have faith in my higher power, and have faith in this program that this works, things will come back to me. Because it's part of the universe, man. It's what you put out there. And I believe that, you know, I didn't get sober just to be broke, man, you know, or to have to give up things. No, man, I got sober to be able to have and share things. But it's how I look about those things. Material things can't own me, you know. Money, you know, it's not, they say it's the root of all evil. I don't believe that. The love of money is the root of all evil. I believe that you have to have it, man. And I want to get mine, man. I want my shit, man. But you know what, guys? I hope that I was able to share a little bit. You know, I know that I jumped around a lot. I'm an addict, man. You know, I get addicted to things. You know, I got addicted to this fucking little thing here. You know, and I quit smoking 23 years ago. I had 6 months when I quit smoking. A year ago, I picked this little thing up here. This is this devil right here. I can't put it down, you know. But I'm going to work on that because I'm to the point to where I'm sick and tired, you know, and that's all it takes. If you're sick and tired of where you're at, you can make a change. You know, and this works for this. It can work for anything you want it to work. You know, sex, all that stuff can all go away. And you can be happy with yourself. You know, I can honestly tell you today I am whole today. You know, I don't look for anything outside of myself to make me happy. I can be in a room by myself, and I can be okay with that. You know, I can be okay with being me. You know, in the beginning it was hard, you know. I always had to be somewhere else. What's going on over there? Because I don't like what's here, you know. And I could be, you know, but today it's not the case, man. And it comes with time. Give yourself some time. And you know, try not to hurt people on the way, along the way. Because making those amends are, you know, hard. Not hard, it just sucks. You know, but it's something that I, as an alcoholic and an addict, I was a selfish prick, you know, and you don't even see it, you know, you don't realize what you're doing, but that shit comes back to haunt you, man. I know that when I had 17 years of sobriety, I was a prick, man, you know, and I looking back, and I was on a dry drunk. I was headed for drinking a drug. And I didn't see it. I couldn't see it. But everybody around me saw it. And they tried to tell me. But I wasn't having it. I'm okay. I got this. I can handle this shit. And before I knew it, I was, you know, on my knees saying, God, take this away from me. Because the disease is progressive. It never gets better out there. It only gets worse. And unless I keep this shit in check, I'm not good, man. I will drink again. And I hope not, you know. I love you all. Hope to see you again. Thanks.
Thanks again, Jim.